Thank you, Lord. That was lovely tonight, wasn't it? Lovely worship time. It was good to hear what's going on in the world. Sometimes we can get carried away with what's going on in our own lives and in our own countries, but we need to keep our vision towards the west of the world, because God wants to use us, ordinary people, to release the power of God. And I believe that we need to be willing to be used by God. Just a little introduction. Some of you don't really know who I am. In fact, you wouldn't know who I am from a bar of soap. So I just thought I'd introduce myself a little bit before I start. I won't take too long to do that. But I'm originally from the Bay of Plenty as well. In fact, I was born and bred in Matata, just up the way a little bit here, and spent a good percentage of my working life in Whakatane. And I am part Māori and part white New Zealander, and I'm very proud of every bit of it. And I thank God for the privilege of being brought up in a multicultural family as such. And so I really thank the Lord for all of those privileges. And I came to know the Lord as a child, as a little girl of 11 years old, and was filled with the Holy Spirit, had an amazing encounter with God when I was 11 years old at a children's camp. Some of you may have heard of a ministry, very special people they are to me. Their names are Paul and Bunty Collins. And on a marae at Omaramutu, which is past Opotiki. And I really thank God for that encounter with Jesus. I walked away from God after that time for a long time. And at the age of 19, I met Jesus again in a very real way. And I just knew what I'd been rescued from. I had a knowing on the inside that I had been rescued in the nick of time. And I thank God for that. And I've had a hunger and a passion. Right from the very beginning, I had a passion for the prophetic. Always have had a passion for the prophetic. Have had a passion for evangelism. My passion is to see people saved. I don't care where, just anywhere. And I have had a passion for people to get saved. And so I was in Whakatane Christian Fellowship for a lot of years, and I came here to Faith Bible College and as a student. And the thing that was so amazing for me is that Faith Bible College really was the beginning for me of God restoring my belief in who I was. Because right from a little child, I was always told from when my school years were horrendous. My primary school years were horrendous. I don't like to think about them. That's how horrendous they were. And I was told I'd never really accomplish anything or do anything in my life. But I thank God for Jesus. I thank God for the truth. And I thank God that I've recognized where those lies have come from. And I thank God for an encouraging mother, a mother who prayed for me, a mother who never let go, even when I was so wayward, it looked like I'd never turn back. And I thank God. I want to encourage you, parents, pray for your children. Don't give up. Don't give up. My mother wasn't about to do so, and I thank God for that. And from that time, I've had a passion in my heart, a hunger in my heart to serve the Lord. I didn't care how it was, but I always knew in my heart that I would never be content to go to church on Sunday and go home again. There was just something on the inside that was burning in my heart. I'd never be content. And I was brought up in a family where missions, my mother used to write to about 20 missionaries a month. They used to come on furlough through Matata, little Presbyterian church, and they used to stay and they'd tell us all about ourselves. They knew everything about us because our mother had written it in a letter. They even knew about us. It was amazing, really. And so missions has sort of been in my life since I was a little girl. And so I never thought that I would actually go anywhere. I had never had a desire, really, to travel. when I was very small, I did, but I never, I had these desires, but I never dreamed that they could come to pass. I never dreamed that it would be real, because my vision was so limited. But because of Jesus, it began to grow. And I have a passion in my heart, and I went to India for 11 months straight after I left Faith Bible College. I want to tell you that that time in India was the groundwork, was the setting of groundwork for God just not allowing the fire of God to go out in my heart. And I've just really just grown to love Jesus more and more and more. And I've seen what he's done. I can't honestly say it's all been easy. It hasn't been easy. And when I speak tonight, you'll understand what I really want to speak about. And I believe that that God begins to create something within our heart and a desire within our heart. I desire the supernatural. I desired to see the power of God. I read Smith Wigglesworth's books, and I wanted it. I read, and I just saw and met people, and then I met a guy called Stuart Grimmens. Stuart had an awesome influence on my life, and eventually I went to work alongside of Stuart for 9 years. It was an amazing experience. That too had its ups and downs, because it meant that I was away from family. It meant that I was spent a good percentage of my time in Asia, away from those whom I loved. It also meant that it was quite a lonely time from time to time. I'm single. I've never been married, not yet. And I know that God. I know that God has allowed that. That has been God's purpose for my life. Up till this particular stage, I have no idea what God might do later, and I believe that God will give you the desires of your heart. So I haven't given up, and so it's really exciting. But I've never ever just sat around waiting for it to happen. I want to tell you, that's not what you do. I believe there's a whole heap of people in the church, even with the call of God on their lives, that are sitting around for a bomb to drop on them, that this is going to be it for them. For goodness sake, God wants us to begin to do the work of the ministry, to do the things that he plants within your heart and begin to see the power of God. Interesting that so far all the speakers have spoken from the Old Testament. I'm going to do that again tonight. And this word that God put were planted in my heart became a revelation to my spirit about 11 months ago. And it really brought light to the journey that has happened in my life. And I want to encourage some of you, because I feel like some of you are frustrated that things are not happening faster, that things are not happening like you would like them to do. But I believe that God wants to do something very, very special in every individual's life. And I want to encourage you tonight. And I pray this word encourages you that the process and the purposes of God for your life are what God allows. And I'm going to read, if you'll turn with me please, to Genesis chapter 29. We're going to read of the Jacob, Rachel, Leah event. It's an amazing story. I just was reading just recently, you know, over the holiday. I've just had 2 weeks holiday, so I feel fresh and rearing to go again, and I'm really excited. And just to be in the presence of God, thank you to the music people. Thank you. The presence of God's just been beautiful. I've just soaked in it and enjoyed the presence of God. You just keep doing what you're doing. It's beautiful. And I often go back to the Old Testament, and I read stories, and I believe that I need to refresh my heart. And I've just read the book of Esther again, and I've also read Nehemiah again, and just begin again just to refresh my spirit and my heart over the last couple of weeks. I encourage you folks, just get a hold of the Word of God and just read it and let it refresh your hearts and let it build into your spirit the purposes and the destiny that God has for you. So, and as I was doing that, I started to read again. And last night I was pondering about what I should share tonight. And this was what God really spoke clearly about. It was from Genesis chapter 29, from verse 16 through to 35. And I'm going to read it out to you. Now Laban had two daughters. The name of the elder was Leah, and the name of the younger was Rachel. Leah's eyes were delicate, but Rachel was beautiful of form and appearance. Now Jacob loved Rachel, and he said, I will serve you 7 years for Rachel, your younger daughter. And Laban said, it is better that I give her to you than I should give her to another man. Stay with me. So Jacob served 7 years for Rachel, and they seemed but a few days to him because of the love he had for her. Then Jacob said to Laban, give me my wife, for my days are fulfilled, that I may go into her. And Laban gathered together all the men of the place and made a feast. Now it came to pass in the evening that he took Leah, his daughter, and brought her to Jacob, and he went into her. Let's move on to 25. So it came to pass in the morning that, behold, it was Leah. And he said to Laban, what is this you have done to me? Was it not for Rachel that I served you? Why then have you deceived me? And Laban said, it must not be done so in our country to give the younger before the firstborn. Man, imagine, my family had been in big trouble if that was the rule in our country, that's for sure. Verse 27 says, fulfill her week, and we will give you this one also for the service which you will serve with me still another 7 years. Then Jacob did so and fulfilled her week. So he gave him his daughter Rachel as his wife. Do you know, the reason why this is so amazing to me is because I've known this story for years and years and years and years, and I've read it I don't know how many times, but I never understood that fact. I thought that he got Leah, and then 7 years later, he received Rachel. But that's not true. He had both. He fulfilled the week, and then he had Rachel as well at the same time. Okay? This is what really the Lord showed me that was so special about this whole thing. Then Jacob did so and fulfilled... Oh, here we go. Sorry. Verse 30. Jacob also went into Rachel, and he also loved Rachel more than Leah. And he served with Laban still another 7 years. Verse 31 says, when the Lord saw that Leah was unloved, he opened her womb, but Rachel was barren. So Leah conceived and bore a son, and she called his name Reuben. For she said, the Lord has surely looked on my affliction. Now therefore my husband will love me. Then she conceived again and bore a son, and said, because the Lord has heard me that I am unloved, he has therefore given me another son. And she called his name Simeon. She conceived again and bore another son and said, now this time my husband will become attached to me because I have borne him three sons. Therefore his name was called Levi. And she conceived again and bore a son and said, now I will praise the Lord. Therefore she called his name Judah. Then she stopped bearing. Now, you know, with this whole story of Jacob and Rachel and Leah, the thing that really God began to show me was in Jacob's journey through his life, he thought that he had missed out on what he believed was God's destiny and promise for his life when he got Leah. He really thought that he'd missed out. He thought he'd missed God's promise, that he got something else by mistake. That's what he thought. The Word of God says that every one of us has a future and a hope, and a destiny and an inheritance. But there is a process that goes on in attaining what God has for our lives. That destiny, there is a process that goes on. Here it is for Jacob, 7 years plus 7 years. So what is this process? Firstly, number one thing is the promise that he has for us. For you and I, God has a promise for us. How many of you received a promise of God? Well, those of you that are born again, and I pray, I guess here all of you are, that are born again and filled with the Spirit of God, you have all received the promise of God of eternal life. You've received eternal life, that you know that one day you will be with him. So we have all received a promise. Let's agree upon that. Secondly, there are principles in the Bible that we have to follow to receive what God has for us. There's a promise, then there are principles to follow. Thirdly, there will, along because of that, will come a problem. There will come a challenge that you and I will have to work through to attain the promise of God. There will come. It might not, it won't be that it might come, it will. There will be challenges that you will come up against, and they will come. Fourthly, there is a provision for God, from God, or a reward for the faithfulness of God. There is a reward for the faithfulness of God. And when I began to just seek the Lord about what I was to share tonight, the Lord said that there were, as I was just in my room and just seeking the presence of God, the Lord said that there are some of you here and you're frustrated because you want to be out there doing what God wants you to do now. But God is saying that, yes, there is a reward for your faithfulness, but right now, there is a process that he is wanting to work within your lives to allow you to become that which God has for your life. And I believe that it is a very real thing. And you see, when God gives us a promise, we must learn to follow the principles so that we will receive the provision. We will receive the promise of God. In other words, I learned that in college, you know. Principles and problems. You know, principles, problems will come. Challenges will come. They will come. Testings will come. But the glory of God will be released to your life if you are faithful. If you are faithful. And I've thought about the journey through my own life. And I've thought about how many challenges I've had. Man alive. Oh, some of them have been huge. Some of them have been smaller. Some of them have been heartbreaking. Some of them have been joyful. Some of them have been amazing. But I thank God for every one of them, because they built something in my life. And you know, when we're faithful to Leah as such, when we're faithful to Leah, then we will obtain Rachel. A friend of mine who was just a young Christian, his name was Peter. He was boarding in the house that I was boarding in at the same time when I first went to live in Australia. And Peter was an enthusiastic young man, an amazing, not much wisdom, heaps of enthusiasm. And he was an amazing guy, but he had a good heart. And he went up to one of our old friends, John, and he said to John, "Brother John, will you pray for me for patience?" Scary. But that's what he said, "Will you pray for me?" And he said, "You know, I recognize I'm not a very patient person, and I would really like to be patient. Would you pray for me?" Well, this older, wiser man of God, John, got down on his knees. He said, "Come on, brother, get down." And he took his hands, and he said, "Lord, I ask that you give this young man tribulation in the morning. Lord, I ask that you give him tribulation in the afternoon. And Lord, I ask you," by this time, Peter said, hey, "what are you doing? What are you doing?" And the older man said, the Word of God says, patience comes by tribulation. Patience comes by tribulation. You see, it was Rachel that Jacob loved. It wasn't Leah. It was Rachel. It was Rachel that God's promises and provision and rewards were to come from. But Jacob had to learn to be faithful to Leah first, before Rachel became fruitful. You see, he was married to Rachel and to Leah all of those years the same. But Rachel's womb never opened until the end of that 7-year period, when he had learned to love Leah, to be faithful to Leah, to be faithful to the promise that he had made. And so in this story this evening of Jacob, Laban, Leah and Rachel, I always loved the way that Des used to symbolize, type and symbolize, and I've actually got a bit of a passion for it myself. So I've done that tonight. And I've decided to type and symbolize that you and I, okay, imagine, you and I, we're Jacob, all right? We're Jacob. And let's symbolize Laban as the father with the provision to give. Yes, he's the father. He's got the provision and we want it. Yes. And then Rachel, she is the provision, or ultimately the promise that we're after. And Leah, she is the process. She is the process, or the challenge that we have to go through to get what it is that God has for our lives. And I believe, you see, that Rachel, she was beautiful, and Jacob wanted her now. And he didn't just want her later, he wanted her now. And many of us know the promises of God for us, and we want them now. Today, Lord, would be really good. Yesterday would be better. And we're not a very patient people, and I know that we live, and some of you that know me will have probably heard me say that we live in an instant society, a society of instant coffee, instant pudding, and instant potatoes. And we expect everything to be instant. We even stand beside the microwave, tapping our fingers, saying, boy, this thing takes forever. I found myself doing that once and I couldn't believe it. But you know that's true? We actually live in this thing where we want everything now, and if we can't have it now, then we kick up our heels and scream and shout and carry on. Now, as it goes on, the story goes on in verse 26, and let's have a look at it, shall we? Let's have a look at verse 26. And Laban said, it must not be done so in our country to give the younger before the firstborn. And this was, remember, this was after that, Jacob had gone to Laban and said to him and complained. And he said to him, hey, look, there's some kind of trick going on here. I'm not sure what you're up to, mate, but I don't like it. And so he just began to talk to him, you know, but Jacob did not want Leah. He actually got Leah, but he didn't want Leah. And you know, let's be honest about this. Even after he'd done all that, he could have stormed out and been really upset and say, look, oh, blow it, I'm out of here. And I don't know about you, but I've felt like that quite a few times. Ah, oh, this is not worth it, man. I didn't come in for this deal. I have to put up with this stuff. And you know, and everything with discouragement, unappreciation, laboring away, even just getting on with it, you know, and you feel like giving up, and you've waited for God, and some of you have been waiting for the call of God to be released in your life. And you've wanted to give up on many occasions. Don't give up. If you're faithful in the process, God will give you the reward. He will honor you for the reward, the thing that he's promised you, he will do. Just hang in. Hang in to that which God has put within your spirit. And just keep being faithful at the things that God has put within your hand. Be faithful. That's what Jacob did. And you know, many of us have, God has given you a Leah. and you've been faithful with it and to receive it. But you know, just for example, some of you may have been called. You know that God has called you to the mission field. You know that God has called you to go. And yet on the inside, it's like, wow, when, God? I'm like a car in a garage with its motor revving, but nothing's happening. Well, I believe that God knows what he's doing. Some of you may be sitting in church knowing that the call of God is on you to pastor churches or to pastor outreaches or to do things, and you find yourselves on the duty rosters putting the chairs out and doing the cleaning and scrubbing the toilets and things. Some of you may have been waiting for God. You may have been waiting. You're single. You have been single for a long time. You've been waiting for God. If you're faithful, God will honor you. He will. He will honor you. And I know, and I don't know what it is that's in your heart, but I felt the Holy Spirit say last night that there are some people here that are really, really, really needing to know that there is a process, that God is out working in their lives that will cause them to see the promises unfold, and they will be fruitful. They will be fruitful. And you will receive the promise of God if you're faithful. Interestingly enough, when I actually wrote this sermon, I said to the Lord this afternoon, shall I say this, Lord, or shall I just leave it out? But I'm going to put it in. I read in a Christian magazine a little story, and it's called For Would-Be Pastors. A preacher who quit the ministry after 20 years became a funeral director, and he asked, why change from a pastor to a funeral director? And he said, well, I spent 2 years trying to straighten out John's life, and he's still an alcoholic. I've spent 6 months trying to straighten out Susan's marriage, or help her straighten out her marriage, and she filed for divorce yesterday. I spent 2.5 years trying to help Bob straighten out his drug problem, and he's still an addict. Now at the funeral home, when I help straighten them out, they stay straight. Very cute. Not very tasteful, but very cute. And I just couldn't resist it. I couldn't resist it at the time, and I couldn't resist telling you now. So let's go on to verse 28. Verse 28 goes on to say, then Jacob did so and fulfilled her week, and he gave him his daughter Rachel for a wife also. And then Jacob also went into Rachel, and he also loved Rachel more than Leah. And he served with Laban still another 7 years. You see, in verse 28, it says that Laban gave Jacob Leah and Rachel at the same time. All he had to do was be faithful for another 7 years. And you see, folks, the gifts and the dreams of God are already within you. God has already placed them within you. He's not about to take them away. He's already placed them within you. And what we have to do is listen to what God wants to do. Because you see, Rachel, she remained barren for all of those years. We must learn to love the process, love Leah, before we begin to see our destiny bear fruit. I've got a friend, Faye, and Faye just loves gardens. And in her garden, she's got this amazing shrub. And when she first bought it, it's a apple, a flowering, I've written it down here, crabapple tree. And it's the most glorious thing when it comes to bloom. Well, the first year she bought it, it didn't flower and it didn't fruit. And so she was about to rip it out and chuck it away. But her husband said, come on, Faye, just wait for a bit longer. So she waited another year. It didn't do anything that year either. And so she was really about to, and he said, come on, just give it one more year. Well, the very next year, it came into the most glorious blossom and the most glorious fruit. And it was the most amazing thing. You see, some things take time to bear fruit. They don't just bear fruit like that. They take time. There's a process involved. And so my friend Faye says, now, when I watch that little red apple tree with the brilliant colour, it reminds me of how impatient I can be with the other things in my life as well. And that's the truth, you know. I believe that we need to know. In 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 6, it says, therefore humble yourself under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time. Oh, man. I love it now. I hated it then. That is an awesome scripture. Do you know what I mean? If you're honest, if you're really honest, man, who wants to humble? You know what I've learned? I've learned it's much better to humble yourself in private, because you may be humbled in public. And it's much better to humble yourself in private. Humble yourself before the mighty hand of God, and he will. It doesn't say he might exalt you. It says he will exalt you in due time. See, folks, when we see our destiny, you're Rachel. Remember that Leah has to come before Rachel. The process has to come before the provision. The problem is we try to cut off or cut short and divorce Leah. That's what we try to do. We try to separate ourselves from the thing that God has allowed to make us into the person that he wants us to be in preparation for that which he has for our lives. And I really believe that for at least 5 to 10 years, God was doing that in my life before he gave me the go-ahead. It was hard waiting, man, because I didn't like it. I've always been a go-getter. I've always been somebody that went and got. I've never waited for people, you know. I just always had this on the inside of me, and it was difficult to wait, but I'm glad that I did. I want to encourage you that are struggling in that area of really waiting for the release from God. Just hang in. Because God's doing a wonderful preparation work. And if you are faithful, he will honor you. Jacob proved faithful in fulfilling his obligation to Leah. And I believe that we need to know that if we are faithful in that. And by the way, Leah will give you something that Rachel never will. Leah will build a character on the inside that will be like Jesus. Leah will bring you to a place of intimacy in the presence of God. Leah will cause you to know your God like you've never known him before. And if you pass by Leah and focus on Rachel, you'll never attain the fullness of God's promise for your life. You'll never attain. But if you're faithful to Leah, God will bring about some things that are necessary for your lasting destiny. For your lasting. Because, you see, we're not in here for the sprint. I don't know about you, but I'm not in here for the sprint. I'm in here for the marathon. I plan to be here in another 20 or 30 years, still preaching the gospel. I don't care where, as long as I am. And unless, of course, Jesus comes, who knows? Glory to Jesus, I don't mind. But there's so many people that need him, need to hear the gospel. And I believe that that's what we need to do. Now, just let's go on to verse 31. And we've read the story through, so I won't read it again. But here, it talks about Leah and how her God had mercy upon Leah. And he opened her womb. And firstly, she had a son, and his name was Reuben. You know, Reuben means a gift from God. A gift from God. And you know, if you and I, we're given gifts, and if we're faithful to the process, then we will see the Spirit of God begin to open those gifts within our lives. I have a passion for the supernatural, for the power of God to move in people's life, for people to be healed, for the anointing of God to touch people and see the power of God heal them. I have a passion. I have this thing burning on the inside of my spirit that wants to lay hands on every sick person I see. And you know, in the midst of that, I don't always do that, because I've learned that that's not always wise, but I still have this burning desire. And I've had the privilege of seeing thousands of people healed. I had a letter just before Christmas. I did a conference in Sydney, and Sydney, Wollongong and Canberra, three conferences actually, in 10 days. It was a really busy time, but it was an awesome time. And I had a letter just before Christmas from a lady who had two lots of cancer in her body, who has sent me in the post medical evidence of the healing power of God. And it was like the power of God touched her and released her and set her free. And I've seen before my eyes, I went to Darwin recently and had the privilege of praying for a little baby. Actually, this was 2 years, 3 years ago. And when I went back 10 months ago, that same wee baby that was blue all on its body, its extremities were totally blue. It was needing heart surgery, but because it was so tiny, they had to give it time to put some weight on, hoping it would live that long. And they had to take this baby to Adelaide. I had the privilege at 5 months old of laying hands upon that wee baby. And I saw that little girl who is now three, just over three, and she is totally healed by the power of God. She went to Adelaide, but she didn't have surgery. God touched her and healed her body by the power of the Holy Spirit of God. See, I have a passion on the inside, but it didn't just happen from there to there. There was a process that I had to walk through. And you know, I'm not saying that everybody I pray for gets healed. I'm getting off the subject here. I want to keep going. But you have to be faithful. The gifts of God, God begins to produce. If you're faithful, he begins to produce his gifts. And the Spirit of God begins to rise up on the inside. Verse 33, she had another son. His name was Simeon. It means God has heard. God has heard. See, in the process, you begin to understand who you are in God. That he'll never leave you or forsake you. And he hasn't forgotten the promises that he's made for you. Sometimes you wonder. But he hasn't. He hasn't. And that's the place where you begin to establish a relationship, an intimacy with God. That you know that he hears you. That you hear him and he hears you. Oh man, it's something very special. And I thank God for it. Verse 34 goes on to say that she had another son and his name was Levi. And Levi means unity and attachment. How about that? That's awesome. You see, that's a place where you become one with God, where your spirit knits with his. The presence of God touches you and the Holy Spirit. It's an awesome place. And when Levi is birthed in your heart, you begin to have an awesome intimacy with God. It's the most amazing thing. And that's where you come to know that verse in Romans 8, 38, where it says nothing shall separate you from the love of God. It becomes so real. Those of you that are waiting and knowing that this process is not as easy as you thought it would be. And in fact, you probably didn't think it would be that easy, but it just feels tough in the midst of it all. Before the call of God begins to release you, before God begins to do this stuff in your heart, I believe that that's where you come to know that neither death nor life nor principalities or powers or things present or things to come can separate you from God's love. The most amazing, amazing thing. You know, you become convinced of his love. You begin to love others and serve others and forgive others because you know what it is to be loved by God. That is the most awesome thing. You know, in the last probably 5 years, my significance doesn't come from the fact that some people think that I'm a reasonably good preacher. Some people think that I'm a reasonably good pastor, a reasonably good evangelist. My significance doesn't come from any of those things. My significance comes from being loved by God. He's my Father. He's my Father. He's the one that loved me first. My significance comes from knowing that my heart and his heart, they're one. They pulsate together. I love God. I love Jesus. I love what he's done. And I love the fact that he loves me and I don't care who knows it. My family think I'm nuts, I'm overboard, I'm radical, I'm this, that, and who cares? I don't care what they think. Every now and again, when they're really in big trouble, guess who they come to? It's amazing, they come to the love of God is where they come. They come to where they know that God's love will be. Judah, the last son that was born at this particular point. I know over in a couple of chapters more, I actually have read further, and there are a couple of more sons. But at this particular point, I'm going to stop here. Judah means praise. Oh boy, you see, God is looking for a heart of praise and worship, thanksgiving, even when it's tough. Even when it's tough. You know, I've been through some really hard times, and I love to sing. I love to praise the Lord. I don't do very much. I used to do a bit of public singing. I don't do very much these days, but man, I do lots of private singing. And I just worship the Lord, and I praise God. And you know, when it's tough, sometimes the tears are streaming down my face, and I'm singing praises to God, and I don't even know what to sing, so I sing in tongues. And I just sing praises to God. And you know, it's in that place that the presence of God and the anointing of God comes and heals my heart and gives me the strength, the courage, and the ability to push through and keep going. That's what the presence of God is all about. Praise and worship is the most awesome key to being free. So there's a process that we have to go through. Do you know what that process is called every day? It's called daily dying to self. Yuck. But it's awesome, you know. It is actually. The reward is great. Just in conclusion, I need you to know that I have learned that there is no one exempt from the process. No one. Psalm 37, verse 7 says, rest in the Lord and wait patiently for him. Now, this is not a passive waiting. I've never been passive in my whole life. But this is not a passive waiting. But because it doesn't mean sitting back doing nothing. Some of us get angry and impatient and upset and we want to, you know, just quit the whole thing. But you see, God is wanting to see what we're made of. And more importantly even than seeing what we're made of, he's working a process in our lives in order to make us. In order to make us. That we become the fruitful people. And then Rachel produced fruit. And then Rachel produced fruit. I really sensed in my heart that there were some of you here tonight that you needed to know that toiling and that working and that faithfulness and that serving that you're doing, God hasn't forgotten. He's working within you to produce the fruit that he wants to in your life. You're precious to him. You have a destiny. He has a plan. He has a purpose. He has a purpose, and you mustn't let go of that which God has got for your life. Let's just pray. Oh, Father, I thank you, Lord, that I have come to know, Lord, that the purposes of God are good for me. I haven't always liked them, Father, but I know that they're good for me. And so, Father, again, I surrender to you for the purposes of God, for this year and for the rest of my life. Father, the things that you have. And I know that these precious brothers and sisters here, Father, so long to know that as well. So Lord, in Jesus' name, we lift up your name today. We thank you for your Son, Jesus. We thank you for the cross. We thank you, Father, for the blood. We thank you for your body that was broken. And we thank you for the resurrection power of Jesus Christ. We thank you, Father, Lord, that it is within that we stand. Father, I thank you for that wonderful scripture, which is one of my favorites in Ephesians 3:20, that says, "Now unto him who is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or even think, according to your power within us." Father, that power within us comes from the presence of God, from relationship, from intimacy with you, from knowing that you have heard us. So, Father, tonight we offer ourselves to you afresh. And we say, fill us, Holy Spirit. Can you just stand together? Just put your hands out to the Lord and say, Holy Spirit, fill me afresh. Fill me afresh, Holy Spirit. Fill me afresh with all the purposes you have for my life. Fill me afresh in Jesus' name. Fill me afresh, Lord. Touch me again with the vision that you have planted within my spirit, with the gifts that you've placed within my heart. Holy Spirit, fill me afresh, I pray. Oh, Lord, we love you. We love you, Lord. And Lord, we don't have our own agenda tonight, Father. We have what we hope is your agenda. Lord, place it within our spirits, I pray. In Jesus' precious name, amen.